and a warm welcome to Health Naturally with me, Tash Vinsale. Lovely to have you with me this evening. And coming up in tonight's show, the wonders of sleep. Are we getting enough? We're going to explore the process of sleep and how to improve your sleep hygiene. Our meditation this week shows us how to create peaceful and powerful visualizations, which will help set you up for the week ahead. And coming up in the news, there has been a breakthrough in a remedy for rheumatoid arthritis. There are potential advances in the natural treatments for Alzheimer's. 4 30-second bursts of intense physical exercise has been shown to reduce the onset of type 2 diabetes and heart disease, and essential oils are proven to reduce stress. But firstly, our thought for the day centers on our attitudes and making the best of whatever cards we are dealt with in life. Please get a pen and paper ready if you wish to make some notes. And remember, if you would like more information about any of the topics we've discussed today, please do get in touch. I would love to hear from you.
Contact us here at Radio Way. Call 01932 87 44 33. Email studio@radioway.co.uk. Press call Radio Way on your Hospicom unit or visit our website www.radioway.co.uk.
You're with Tash Vinsale on Radio Way. Our thought for the day regards the choices we make and the consequences that those choices have. And it really is centered about our attitude and how we take life's little challenges in our stride. And this is a wonderful example of such an action. It's a funny little story I came across, and it's called The Crazy Dog. Once a wealthy man decided to go on a safari in Africa. He took his faithful pet Dachshund dog along for company. One day, the Dachshund started chasing the butterflies, and before long the Dachshund discovered that he was lost. Wandering about, he notices a leopard heading rapidly in his direction with the obvious intention of having lunch. The Dachshund thinks, "I'm in deep trouble now." Then he notices some bones on the ground close by and immediately settles down to chew on the bones with his back to the approaching cat. Just as the leopard is about to leap, the Dachshund exclaims loudly, "Boy, that was one delicious leopard! I wonder if there are any more about." Hearing this, the leopard halts his attack mid-stride, as a look of terror comes over him, and he slinks away into the trees. "Phew," said the leopard, "that was close. That Dachshund nearly had me." Meanwhile, a monkey who had been watching the whole scene from a nearby tree figures he can put this knowledge to good use and trade it for protection from the leopard. So off he goes. But the Dachshund sees him heading after the leopard with great speed and figures something must be up. The monkey soon catches up with the leopard, spills the beans, and strikes a deal for himself with the leopard. The leopard is furious at being made a fool of and says, "Here, monkey, hop on my back and see what's going to happen to that conniving canine." Now the Dachshund sees the leopard coming with the monkey on his back, and he thinks, "What am I going to do now?" But instead of running, the dog sits down with his back to his attackers, pretending he hasn't seen them yet. And just when they get close enough to hear them, the Dachshund says, "Where is that monkey? I sent him off half an hour ago to bring me another leopard." Here we go, folks. The moral of the story here is that it doesn't matter what cards you hold out, but it's how you play them. And now some time for quiet reflection. And in this week's meditation, we're going to be focusing on visualization practice. This is something you can do at any time. It's a good idea to be sitting or lying down comfortably. And as your body temperature might drop slightly when you do this, it's good to have a blanket to hand so that you can cover yourself if you start to feel cold. All you're going to do right now is you're going to close your eyes, get comfortable on whatever surface you are resting on, and start focusing on your breathing. Inhaling deeply in and out. Take a few deep breaths and exhale by blowing out. Now relax your whole body by becoming aware of your feet, slowly bringing your awareness up to your body, scanning for any tension and letting it go. Letting it go in your legs, your buttocks, your back, breathing in deeply and relaxing. Allowing your body to relax, the front of your body, your chest, and gradually letting go. Then relaxing your hands up to your arms, your shoulders, and your neck. Letting the tension go. And finally to your whole head. Take a deep breath in. And as you exhale, let go and relax. Then begin to focus on the in and out flow of your breath, watching it for a few moments. Feel that with each breath you are sinking deeper and more peacefully into a state of calm. Enjoy this feeling. Be with it. Now imagine you are walking through a city. All around you there are cars and traffic. And you can hear the noise, smell the fumes. You turn off the main road and begin to walk down a quieter street where there are outdoor cafes and people talking together. Soon you are in a more suburban street where children are playing, houses have front yards, and there are trees. This street leads you to a gentle river. There is a small boat waiting for you. And now you row yourself across to the other side, where you can see green fields stretching ahead of you. You land and walk up the bank to find yourself in the most beautiful countryside. You smell the wildflowers as you walk down a small lane between two green fields. You hear birds calling and feel warmed by the sun on your back. You notice a small cluster of trees and the grass beneath them looks soft and inviting. You lie down and let yourself sink into this natural world that cradles and holds you. You feel lulled by the sweet smells and sounds, and the gentle breeze caresses your skin. Stay in this place and enjoy absorbing this feeling of contentment which it gives you. Remember to continue breathing deeply in and out. In and out. When you are ready, you can slowly sit up. All around you is peace, and you feel that same peace within you. You know this is something you can keep with you always and take away with you in your heart. Now gently let the visualization fade and become aware of your physical body. Have a good stretch. Open your eyes and take a deep breath. Allow yourself to come back to the here and now, and you will feel centered, you will feel calm, and this will set you up for the week ahead. Right, folks, that brings us to the end of this week's meditation. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about the powers of sleep and how important it is that you have good sleep hygiene. You're with Tash Van Sail on Health Naturally. Today we are discussing sleep. That wonderful sensation of reduced or absent consciousness, where we completely relax and allow ourselves to drift off into dreamland. It is estimated that we spend around 8 hours a day, 56 hours a week, 240 hours a month, and 2,920 hours per year sleeping. So clearly this is something that our bodies need to do. The dominant theories in psychology state that sleep has a restorative and protective property, in other words, keeping us safe when we are otherwise most vulnerable, and that also that sleep is governed by our body clocks or circadian rhythms. Now, the interesting thing with sleep is that it's not just a process of switching on and off. There is actually an interesting interplay of different stages and processes which take place in order for you to get a good night's sleep. And what I'm talking about here is that your body has distinctive stages that operate on a cyclic basis throughout the night. And there are also two forms of sleep, which you've probably heard of before, REM sleep and non-REM sleep. Now, REM sleep stands for rapid eye movement, and non-REM stands for non-rapid eye movement sleep. With regards to these different stages, stages 1 through 4 are classified as non-REM sleep, and then stage 5 is REM sleep. Now, you might ask me, what's the relevance? What's this got to do with anything? Well, I'm going to quickly highlight to you what the different stages are and what happens during those stages and why they are so significant. It's during stage 1 that you will start to drift off to sleep. You'll still be semi-conscious, and as your sleep deepens, you naturally progress into stage 2. Stage 3 and 4 are characterized by delta brain waves, which means that you are sleeping very deeply, your body is completely relaxed. You will also experience deep breathing, and everything starts to slow down in your body, so your physiological processes as well will slow down. It's during this stage that you dream, and these dreams are generally related to events in your life. You may also experience things like sleep talking or sleep walking. After a certain period of time, you will then progress into REM sleep. This is your rapid eye movement sleep, and this is quite interesting because the brain activity in REM sleep is incredibly active, very similar to when you are awake. Now, the interesting thing here is that the brain will actually shut off the body's physical activity. So, in other words, you experience something known as sleep paralysis, which is essential because if you act out anything, you know, that you dream during that time, and it's during REM sleep that you have really strange dreams, you could actually do yourself some physical harm and also probably harm the person around you. So the body has a switch during REM sleep where it switches off physical movement and you dream these incredible dreams. If you are woken up during REM sleep, you generally wake up feeling quite awake and aware of the situation around you, which is quite different to when you're being woken up during stage 3 and 4, non-REM, where you might wake up feeling very confused and very, very disorientated. You also might wake up feeling quite stiff and sore. Throughout the night, you're going to go through several cycles of sleep, going from stage 1 through 4 into REM and then backwards to stage 2 and so on. The thing that is concerning for sleep therapists and for psychologists is if your sleep is repeatedly broken throughout the night, so you're not getting a full dose of stages 1 through 5, so you are not getting a good pattern throughout your entire night, so you're not sleeping properly, you've got broken sleep. This can cause a whole host of other problems. And what I'm talking about here is things like weight gain, things like an increased propensity to diabetes type 2. Depression is another one that is closely linked to insomnia and lack of sleep or broken sleep. Mental illness, whether you have a propensity to have illnesses and colds and flus all the time, your immune system is affected by a lack of sleep. And I think what concerns me as a naturopath is that a lot of my clients will present with certain conditions, depression, anxiety, and insomnia, and want to be treated for those conditions. And what we really need to be looking at is, how are you sleeping? Do you get enough sleep? Do you get unbroken sleep? Do you feel refreshed when you wake up? And I think these are important things for you to consider when you are going to sleep. And if you have an idea that there is a problem with your sleep, then that is the thing that we need to look at before we start treating things like depression or anxiety. It could well be that your sleep is the thing that needs addressing. Now that you have an understanding of the processes involved in sleep, you actually have the information and the tools to actually make your sleeping experience a more positive one. So what I'm talking about here is improving your sleep hygiene. First and foremost, what you eat and what you drink is going to have an impact on how you sleep and when you sleep. So the most obvious thing is going to be cutting down on caffeine or caffeinated drinks prior to going to sleep, because that has a stimulating effect. And equally, trying not to have a heavy meal just before you go to sleep, because that places so much strain on your body and also for you to then relax after that. In terms of nutrients or food substances that you can take that will help you sleep, things like starches. So if you're going to have a meal in the evening, a starchy meal consisting of breads or pastas or rice will actually help you drift off. Having said that, eat earlier in the evening, roughly 3 to 4 hours before you actually want to go to sleep. Another thing that's really useful is milk and honey. If you are diabetic, don't use the honey. Use stevia or use agave nectar in minimal amounts. The honey in itself is very sedative as well as the agave nectar. If you're going to look at something else to drink, herbal teas are fantastic. You know, you've got chamomile, you've got lime blossom, valerian, and verbena, also very, very useful in helping you relax and just wind down in the evening. What I would urge you as well with drinking. Drinking means you're going to go to the loo at some point. So try and drink roughly 1 to 2 hours before you go to sleep. And I'm talking about drinking your milk and honey or your herbal teas. With regard to stress management is important for everybody, and sleeping is obviously one of the most important things you can do in order to manage your stress. If you find that you're very active in your mind, keep a journal. Write things down that are bothering you in bullet point form if you can. And then next to it, write the possible solutions. So like an action plan of the things that you can actually realistically do about those things. And then action them. That is the best way for you to deal with the stress and anxiety, because then it becomes a real thing. It's something you can look at on a piece of paper, and it's something that you can actually make sense of. The problem with stress and anxiety is if it's in your head, it's not tangible and it's just floating in, you know, outer space. Putting it on paper makes it real. You can action something. One thing I want to say about your bedroom. I know a lot of us have our computers and televisions and all sorts of electric equipment in the bedroom. Switch it off when you go to sleep. Anything that's flashing a light, turn it off, because subconsciously that's going to affect your sleeping pattern as well. Your bedroom should be a calm, tranquil environment that you can go to at the end of the day to sleep and to sleep soundly. Make use of the time before you go to sleep where you can do something relaxing like yoga, swimming, going for a walk, mild walk, not excessive exercise, but something that actually helps you calm down. I appreciate for people with children, a nighttime routine can be very, very challenging. And I speak from experience. Yeah, I have a small son. But what I will say as well is if you can instill a good nighttime routine, that will greatly help your son or daughter go to sleep and will also help you drift off later on in the evening, because you'll feel calmer having had a little bit of time for yourself. Other things that are useful to consider, try not to smoke or drink excessive amounts of alcohol, anything stimulating just before going to sleep, and also exercising late at night. I mean, as good as exercise is, doing it in the evening is very stimulating. So you're not going to go to sleep immediately. And if you're battling with sleep, I would urge you to participate in exercise during the day. Make it part of your daily activity if you can, because that at least will then allow you to get fitter, but also to sleep really well at night. If you are an insomniac and you're lying in bed and you're getting annoyed because you can't fall asleep, try the visualization exercise I showed you earlier on in the program. It's very useful for allowing you to fall to sleep quite naturally and quite easily. If you're still finding that you're not going to go to sleep, then get up. Get up, do something. I had terrible insomnia during my pregnancy, and I would eventually get up and I would read a book, I'd watch television, I'd do some cooking sometimes, you know, just to try and make myself active in a way that was calm and not too stimulating, but equally that I was not getting, you know, constantly annoyed by the fact that I couldn't sleep. If you find that you've got to go to work the following day, ensure that you take a multivitamin that will help you through the course of the day. And then really, hopefully that evening, you'll be able to get some downtime and sleep peacefully thereafter. Naturally, if you are struggling with sleep, there are over-the-counter medications that you can look at. There's natural remedies that you can take. Some of them are mentioned earlier. Verbena, chamomile are the most frequently used. And ultimately, if you're really struggling, you can go to a sleep clinic, and they will also be able to assess your sleeping pattern and help and give you some advice on how you can improve it in the future. Well, folks, that brings us to the end of our discussion on sleep this week. I hope you found that useful and informative. And if you want any more information, remember to get hold of me. Coming up after the break, we're going to go to the news.
Have you seen that Change for Life? It's all about small changes we can do to make us healthier. Whether you and your family want to cut back fat, watch the salt, make sugar swaps, get your 5 a day or be more active, Change for Life has something for you. To find loads of easy everyday ideas, just search online for Change for Life now.
And in the health news this evening, there's a new breakthrough for rheumatoid arthritis. There's a potential advance for the natural treatment of Alzheimer's. 4 30-second bursts of intense exercise every few days dramatically cuts the risk of type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And lastly, essential oils proven to reduce stress. In our first story this evening, a signal molecule made by the human body that triggers the immune system into action may be important in rheumatoid arthritis, according to the new research published in the Nature Medicine Journal. The authors of the study from the Imperial College London say that if scientists could block this signal, it may be possible to develop more effective arthritis treatments. Rheumatoid arthritis is the most common autoimmune disease, affecting around 1 in 100 people. It causes painful and persistent swelling in the joints that can result in damage to the bone and cartilage. Around half of all patients do not respond to one or more of the treatments currently available, and even these can become less successful over time. The researchers behind the new study say that stopping the disease closer to the root of the problem could be the best way to treat it, and their results suggest a new type of therapy that will target this particular condition. And in our next story this evening, a food that has been eaten in Japan for centuries is now being heralded for its medical properties, especially in removing dangerous fibres and plaques from the brains of Alzheimer's sufferers. Natto consists of fermented soybeans, and most people are put off by its pungent and sticky texture. Advocates love it, not just for its unusual flavour and texture, but for all its health benefits as well. Natto is full of a special long-lasting variety of vitamin KMK, which is mixed with certain kinds of bacteria, which is fermented, and helps produce a range of amino acids, vitamins, antibiotics, and enzymes. The latest research on natto, just in from Taiwan, indicates its ability to help prevent heart attacks and strokes through its ability to prevent or resolve blood clots. The latest results also indicate that enzymes from natto may be even more beneficial to us, as they appear to break down part of the beta amyloid plaque deposits that are in the brains of people with Alzheimer's disease. The health benefits of short, intense physical activity for reducing the risks of diabetes in later life have been studied at the Heriot Watt University. James Timmons, Professor of Exercise Biology, has studied the effects of quick exercise. In his study, published in the journal BMC Endocrine Disorders, 16 men were put through short, intense period of exercise 3 times a week for 2 weeks. All they did was a 30-second flat-out sprint 4 times at each exercise period, with a few minutes rest in between. At the end of the 2-week period, he found that 23% improvement in insulin function was observed. His study looks at the way our bodies break down glycogen and that it stores. Now, glycogen is stored in muscles, which is where it should be, but when it gets free in our bloodstream, it can cause damage. Professor Timmons says further that we should be thinking about diabetes as being glucose circulating in the blood rather than being stored in the muscles where it should be. Normal exercise allows our bodies to oxidize glycogen, but it doesn't deplete the stores of glycogen in our muscles. When we deplete these stores, our muscles have to take the glycogen they need from our blood. The only way to get this form of glycogen is through very intense contractions of the muscles. If we can get people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s doing these exercises twice a week, then it could have a very dramatic effect on the future prevalence of diabetes. So it is possible to gain significant health benefits without having to do the 30 minutes a day that is currently recommended. Only 7.5 minutes of exercise each week, if that's all you have time for, is all you need, says Professor Timmons. And in our last story this evening, scientists in Japan are reporting the first scientific evidence that inhaling certain fragrances alter gene activity and blood chemistry in ways that reduce stress levels. This study appears in the ACS Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry. Aromatherapy, the use of fragrant plant oils to improve mood and health, is of course a very popular and effective form of complementary medicine today, but the findings largely confirm what aromatherapists have known for generations. Essential oils do have a physiological effect on the body, and furthermore, this current research could also form the basis of new blood tests for identifying fragrances that could soothe stress. That's all we have time for this evening. I really hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. Remember to join me next week when we'll be looking at food additives. Are they useful or dangerous? Thanks for joining me, Tash from Sale on Health Naturally. Until next time, good night.
Been listening to this week's edition of Health Naturally, presented by Tash Van Sale here on Radio Wave.